We'll get into that, but first, let me tell you about Cynthia Davis. She is running against Blaine Lutkemeyer. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Blaine Lutkemeyer and I go back quite a few years now, and you know, I don't dislike him. I think he's a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not attacking him as a person, but as a conservative, small government advocate, I think he fails the test almost all the way down the line. And by the way, as soon as we start talking about this, people are calling his office. They know that you're on the show. Already they know. And I've the door is open. If Blaine Lutkemeyer wants to come on this program, I would love to have him on. He and I disagree. I don't dislike him. We just disagree. But the door is open. So you're running against Blaine Lutkemeyer. You're primarying against him. Why?
Everything is happening August 2nd. We have a chance to make a change. The members of Congress stand up every 2 years and say, do you want to keep the same old, same old? And there's an opportunity to upgrade. So if we want to have somebody who better reflects the district, why would we not want to take that opportunity?
All right. What has Blaine Lutkemeyer done in the House of Representatives? What votes has he taken that you disagree with?
Well, I agree with you that he's a nice guy. But the problem is we're not voting for the nicest guy of District 3. We're voting for the person who best articulates our values. And our district is fairly conservative. Not everybody, but most people have certain core values that are not being respected in Washington, D.C. So when there's this big of a disconnect, it's time to change. It's time to fire Congress. If you're happy with Congress, fine. Just go ahead and reelect everybody. But 11% of the people are happy with Congress. So if you're one of the 11%, you're in a very small minority. 89% of the people are saying that's enough. Here's the point. Everybody talks nice and smooth during campaign time. And talk is nice. They all say, yeah, but it wasn't my hand in the cookie jar. Well, if it wasn't their hand in the cookie jar, then how did the cookie jar get empty? It's not even empty. It's broken. We have a broken cookie jar. The country is messed up. It's getting worse. And I've been out of office for 6 years, and look at what has happened to it just since then. And one more point. I believe a lot of people are unhappy with Barack Obama, and they're worried now about who are we going to get for the next president of the United States. Well, if we had a functional Congress, it wouldn't make as big of a difference who is the president. The problem with Obama is not just Obama. It's this Congress plus Obama. So you have a Congress that's giving him carte blanche, everything he wants, including the representative who claims to be a Republican representing this district. How cool is that? If you voted to fund Planned Parenthood, you voted to fund the refugee resettlement program, you voted to fund his illegal alien amnesty program, you voted to increase the deficit, raise the debt ceiling. That's not what this district wants for our representation in Washington, D.C.
All right, Cynthia Davis with us, primarying against Blaine Lutkemeyer. And let me tell you, let me give you the other side of this. Let me give you the Republicans' side of this, Cynthia. If you manage to beat Blaine Lutkemeyer in the primary, then the Republican Party is going to have to cough up a bunch of money to get you elected.
No, not really.
Oh, no, wait, okay. Let me just finish. Let me just finish because when there's an open seat, that's when all hell breaks loose. Money comes in from the Democrats that, because it's not an incumbent, it makes it a more vulnerable seat. When that money comes in, they've got to come in with more money. They're just better off if they leave Blaine Lutkemeyer in there, don't have to spend all that extra money. He's got a much better chance of winning, and that's why we're not going to support you. That's what the Republican Party would say.
Thank you. Well, first of all, why are we letting money dictate how we behave? That's problem number one. Problem number two is we have to stand on principle. This district is 67% Republican. Now, whoever wins this primary is going to win the whole enchilada. That's how it works. This is a pretty much Republican area, and we're not getting Republican representation. Now, Blaine would be a fine representative if only we were living in Chicago. But this isn't Chicago. This is Missouri. It's time for us to actually act like we love freedom, like we love limited government, and like we care about the conservative values that made our country great.
Cynthia Davis with us, primarying against Blaine Lutkemeyer. Well, let me ask you this. Let me do this. The Republicans will, the Democrats will. I mean, yeah, this is how it will work. The Democrats, when you get the nomination, are going to paint you as an extremist. They're going to paint you as some wacko, far-right extremist, dangerous to have in the House of Representatives. Maybe you Republicans don't all agree with us, but Cynthia Davis, extremist.
Well, what we've got there is pretty extreme, because we have somebody who's accomplishing everything the Democrats want. Now, explain to me how that's setting us back. They have somebody who's actually going to vote according to the way the Republican platform is written. Most of the people who like Democrats, what they really like is people who will vote to increase socialism in our country. They want government more intrusive, more expensive, more invasive, and more be the be-all, end-all. Now, that's what we have right now with Blaine Lutkemeyer.
You say, and I'm looking at a piece of your literature here, that you would preserve American agriculture. How would you do that?
Well, when I was in the Missouri House of Representatives, and that's what makes me different than most of his other challengers, I have a track record that you can scrutinize and study and understand. I have something to back up my words. He has something to back up his words, too, and it's not something to be proud of if you are a Republican. Now, what I have in backing up my words is I won the Friend of Agriculture Award when I was in the Missouri House. And that's a special thing. You don't win that just for showing up and existing. You win that if you actually understand agricultural principles. And then you combine that plus the fact that I won an award for being the most constitutional legislator in the state of Missouri. You add all this together, and now you've got a picture of somebody who's both constitutional and understands free markets and understands what it means to limit government.
But I still don't know what you would do to preserve American agriculture. I'm pro-labor. I like labor. I think workers that do a good job should be remunerated fairly, but I'm not in favor of compulsory unions and things like that. So you can tell me you're pro-agriculture, but maybe you're pro-farm bills.
Okay, well, let me help you. First of all, I have a daughter who's an agronomist who has given me a lot of wisdom and education on agricultural issues. But more importantly, I don't know if you want to get into how much nitty-gritty you want to get into. But
well, all I need to know is, are you going to take taxpayer money out of the hands of some people and send it to the farming community?
I'm free market. I believe in personal responsibility.
So no is your answer.
I believe that. Let me add, there was a vote recently on labeling meat that comes from China. And the person I'm running against voted against having meat properly labeled. I think that's a problem for agriculture. Why do we have to buy Chinese beef? Do we not grow enough beef here in our own country?
I don't know. Why would our beef be more expensive?
We used to be the breadbasket of the world.
Could it be that the best beef, which is, I guess, grain-fed, isn't getting grain fed because we're taking all that corn and pouring it into
ethanol subsidies?
I don't know. I'm just guessing. All right. You say that you would abolish the IRS. What method of taxation would you be in favor of?
Well, before we get on off of ethanol, let me say I was one of four people in the Missouri House who voted against ethanol subsidies. And afterwards, I remember standing in the break room in the back of the chamber, and there was a representative who walked up to me and he said, "You were one of the four people who voted against that ethanol deal. I'm really glad you did. You did the right thing." The problem is most people don't realize until after it's too late. It's who you get your information from defines what you're going to produce, how you're going to vote. And this is really important for us to get. The people who go to my website, which is cynthiadavis.us, need to know there is a report card on there for Blaine Lukemeyer. You just go to the homepage, cynthiadavis.us, scroll to the bottom, near the bottom of the front page. There's a little tab you click on. You need to take time to become informed and educated on who you have to pick from. A lot of people, when they see the ballot, they think it's a multiple choice test of how many of these candidates do you recognize, and then they just circle whoever they know. But there's a lot more to it, and I'd like to thank you for helping us becoming educated today.
Oh, this is, I enjoy doing what I'm doing, and I love having a candidate on who knows what they believe. Apparently you do. Let me talk about Planned Parenthood. You know, it seems to me that there are alternatives to Planned Parenthood that are already in place where funding could have gone in instead of Planned Parenthood, places where they don't commit abortions.
And when Blaine voted to fund Planned Parenthood, he just cost himself all credibility on anything pro-life.
All right, so Second Amendment. Do I have the right to own and bear arms?
I've been a big Second Amendment advocate my entire life. I'm the one who helped make all that happen when I was in the House. So there are certain things you can count on. It's good. I believe that we need to pull forward. Now, you're going to hear there's not a lot of difference between me and Blaine on Second Amendment because there's no difference, but you're going to find a huge difference on the economic issues, which is amazing because in the past, my biggest difference has been on social issues, but we have a comment right now. I'm just going to say, when somebody votes to expand the budget consistently and over and over and over again and says we're going to raise the debt ceiling and now we're going to do this omnibus appropriations bill, and they're spending money as if it's monopoly money. It's almost like somebody whispered to the members of Congress, it's really just nothing but paper. Just spend like there's no tomorrow. Because that's what we're not seeing is any fiscal conservatism coming out. But, you know, let me finish this Planned Parenthood question. When they say, do you want to fund Planned Parenthood? That should be an easy one. And, you know, he's going to say, well, it was just the omnibus bill. I just had to vote for the omnibus bill or else Obama was going to threaten to shut down government again. Well, you know what? They do these show votes where they come up with these crazy ideas and they put them all in the omnibus bill. And they know that they wouldn't pass alone. But then they do a standalone bill that they know Obama guaranteed is going to veto. And that's the problem. We are getting shysted every day. And it's time to recognize it and say this is not serving us well. When you get people up there who are principled, and by the way, don't believe that they were forced to vote for this omnibus bill. There were 95 clear-thinking representatives who had the brazenness and boldness to say, no, we're not doing that. They need me. If you send a few more of us up there, it's going to go well. Because finally you'll see the critical mass of people saying, that's not serving us anymore. Let's just be brave and strong again.
All right, you and I don't agree on everything, but I would say about 95% of the stuff we do agree on. As a libertarian, and you were a member of the Constitution Party, so the differences between us are very slight. But if we can get enough Cynthia Davis in the House of Representatives, we could save the Republic. And literally, that's what's at stake. I'd asked you a question about taxation. You say you want to abolish the IRS. How would you tax the country?
Well, first of all, there are other plans, and that's not about to happen anytime soon, as you can see. It's an idea.
Yeah, ideology. But I just need to very quickly, what would you supplant the IRS with or the current tax system with?
With reductions. and tariffs.
So you would continue
NAFTA.
You'd continue to tax income?
There are a lot of no, income is punishing people for doing good.
So how would you tax people then?
There are other ways
fair
we
tax?
Can do well, we're with yes, there are ways to do consumption taxes that make sense. And it's not about the complexity of that, but it's about the philosophy. It starts with saying no more. And it also starts with hamstringing all this regulatory authority we've given to the bureaucrats.
All right. I am up against the clock. We got to run. Cynthia Davis, CynthiaDavis.org. 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 Go donate. Let her get the word out. Thank you for being with us. Blaine Lutkemeyer's people, listen, the way we got Cynthia Davis is we started talking about her on the air and she came on the program. I know you're listening, and if Blaine Lutkemeyer would like to come on the air, we would love to have him on. It's not, I don't have any dislike for Blaine Lutkemeyer. The only thing I dislike is his performance in the House of Representatives. So, you know, I'll give you equal time. You want on, absolutely send him in. But I got to tell you, after watching his performance and listening to Cynthia Davis, and I'm going to tell you something else. I think if this girl could get enough money, if this woman could get enough money to run some ads, I think she could beat him. I think she could beat him. I strongly urge you, I'm going to encourage doing this, going to her website, CynthiaDavis.org. That's a C-Y-N, CynthiaDavis.org. And donating. I know that a lot of liberals don't believe that money equals free speech, but it does. That's how you buy ads, you get mailers, you get your word out. And I think if she gets her word out, I think she could win. CynthiaDavis.org. I wouldn't mind trying to find a way to help her raise money. I want to see what happens if somebody has, and he has over $1 million. He's got over $1 million that he can spend on his campaign. I'd like to see her have some extra cash that she can get her word out. See what happens when people get to hear the other side.